This is Keeping the Faith, a weekly discussion about issues of faith, spirituality, religion, and ethics. Now here's your host, Steve Shoemaker.
We're talking with Anne Verghese today from Bread for the World about a new program called The Power of One. Anne, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Steve. How are you doing?
Anne is in Chicago, and I'm in Champaign-Urbana. But by the miracle of electronics, we're talking together. Listeners can also call in to ask questions or make comments, and I'll give them the numbers later for that. And tell us about The Power of One.
Great, Steve. It's actually called The One Campaign.
The One Campaign.
The One Campaign, yes. And it's Bread for the World along with a number of other faith-based as well as secular organizations that have really come together and just said that we want to make poverty history. And it's not only a campaign that's going on in the United States, but it's a part of a global effort all around the world to end poverty. And here in the United States, we are calling it the One Campaign because we are focusing on 1% of the federal budget to go towards.
So it's O-N-E, not W-O-N.
Right, okay. O-N-E. Mm-hmm. Because we're focusing on 1% of the federal budget. But we're also focusing on the fact that, you know, people one by one really can make a difference. And working as one together, not only in this country, but around the world, we will make a difference with poverty.
Now, you say a lot of other groups are joining Bread for the World. Tell us about who some of those groups are.
Yeah, that's actually DATA, which is Bono's group and Bread for the World, as well as CARE, Mercy Corps, World Vision, Oxfam, a number of different organizations. A lot of development organizations have really come together to form this coalition to work on the One Campaign here in the United States. And working in a coalition is not always easy, but for all of these organizations that hold these issues dear, we really have just, you know, come together to work on this campaign to bring about awareness about these issues to the public here in the United States.
Now, what's the commonality between these various groups? Because they are quite diverse.
Basically, all of these groups have a desire to want to help people living in poverty or hunger, living in injustice, basically, because there's so many issues in the One Campaign that we're addressing, things like poverty, hunger. Bread for the World is a hunger advocacy organization. That's what we concentrate on, as well as for Oxfam, you know, fair trade, other organizations concentrating on the debt cancellation, care for people with AIDS, things like that. All of these organizations really fight to help in people that are living in unjust situations around the world.
When did this joint campaign begin?
This campaign was kicked off here in the United States about a year ago in Philadelphia. And ever since then, we've just been asking people to sign on to the campaign and add their voice on to the campaign. And right now, we are close to 1 million Americans that have signed on. I think we're about at the 900,000 mark.
And what's involved in signing on?
Mm-hmm. Signing on to we call it the One Declaration, and that can be found on our website, which I'll give the address for in just a moment. But signing on to the One Declaration basically says that you are a person that lives in this country that cares about these issues and wants to see our government do more. We're trying to send a clear message to our leaders in Washington that people in the States do care about these issues and want to see our government do more to help the situation for people living in poverty around the world. Because we are the wealthiest nation on this earth, we really feel like that we can be doing a little bit more than what we're doing now. That's why we're asking for 1% of the federal budget to go towards these programs. When somebody signs on to the One Campaign declaration, what will happen is their name will be added to a database, and the database is not sharing this information with any other organizations. It's strictly for the One Campaign. That person will receive an email update once or twice a month, basically giving them an update on what's going on with the campaign and also an update on the issues, because really the campaign is about raising awareness. And for people that maybe don't know much about global AIDS or debt cancellation, they'll be able to click on a link and read, you know, an article that will send them to a website that will give them a little bit more information on that. Basically, we're trying to raise a global effort so that we can tell our leaders around the world that something needs to be done about global poverty, and we are the generation that can do it.
So these organizations that have joined together with Bread for the World, are all in agreement that the U.S. government should use tax monies, resources, a larger percentage to fight issues like poverty and hunger.
Right.
And what you, if the goal is 1%, what currently is the percentage of U.S. Funds that go toward these issues?
Right. Currently, the United States is giving less than half of 1%. The exact percentage is around 0.39 of what we're giving. Now, this statistic has come from our policy analyst at Bread for the World. It does not include things like military spending and so on. So we're looking at under half of 1% right now. And we, as the One Campaign, really want to boost that to 1%. Now, what that would look like is 1% of the federal budget is approximately $25 billion. And we're hoping that that would be spread out over the next 5 years, or once it gets introduced over 5 years, $5 billion per year to go to some of these assistance programs around the world. That's what we think the United States should be doing.
Now, if the United States currently is giving less than half a percent, 39%, you say, how does that compare to other developed countries?
Unfortunately, it is, I think, ranking right now 13th or 14th among developing countries on the percentage of what we give. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, the United States gives the most money to all of these programs. Well, that's true. If we're speaking in dollar amounts, it is quite a large sum. But in comparison to the percentage rates, the United States really falls short. Countries like Switzerland, Germany, France, all of these countries are giving a higher percentage of their national, what am I trying to say?
Their national budgets.
Right, national budget to programs like this.
So, and gross national product, GNP.
Yes. And some of the other countries that have joined on to the campaign, for example, I believe it's Australia now, their campaign is called the 0.7 campaign because they're trying to reach 0.7. Here in the United States, it's the 1 campaign because we're trying to reach 1%. So different countries are looking at it in different ways, but the United States definitely falls short when it comes to overall percentage rates.
Now, the various groups you mentioned, some of them they really are across the political spectrum. Some of them, people would say, oh, that's an evangelical, very conservative group. How do liberals and conservatives, religious and non-religious groups, all join together on something like this?
That's what's really been amazing about this campaign is the diverse coalition that has come together. At Bread for the World, we are a nonpartisan organization. And on any campaign that we work on dealing with hunger, either here in the United States or abroad, we really try to get support from both Republicans and Democrats. That's something that's very important to us. And in dealing with all of these organizations, you know, you are going to come across different political ideas and things like that. But the one thing that really binds us together is our hope for helping people living in poverty. And we really have not come across any problems, along the political lines. Most of these people are really, whether they're, you know, conservative Christians or liberals, whatever the case may be, I've spoken in churches all across Illinois, Indiana, and Missouri, and have really just gotten a positive reaction from audiences because as people of faith, you know, we're called to help people that are suffering around the world. And politics, once you get into the issues, I have seen that it's not really playing a huge part in the way people see the One campaign. And the fact that the coalition is so diverse, people are very impressed that all of these organizations that are so different yet so alike can work together on something like the One campaign.
Now, is this an interfaith effort or ecumenical just in terms of including various branches of Christianity?
No, it's definitely an interfaith movement right now. We have different Jewish organizations. We have been working with different Muslim organizations to really come together because it is really something across all faiths that binds us together as well. The call from God to help people suffering or to help our brothers and sisters that have less than we do. It really is across the board. All faiths call their people to do that. And that's one thing that's been great working at Bread for the World is being able to work with different organizations and different faith groups on these issues. So it's not only a Christian movement, it really is across the board, and all of these secular organizations as well that have been working on the campaign.
And we've gone 10 minutes without mentioning a website. That may set a record. We better do it quickly.
Okay, great. The sign on to the One Declaration, you can go onto Bread's website, and that's www.bread.org/one. The main website for the One campaign is just www.one.org.
All right, repeat those, please.
Okay, it's www.bread.org/one. Or you can go to the One campaign website at www.one.org.
Okay. And for people who don't have access to computers, how may they learn about the One Declaration and see if they might like to sign on, make a contribution, whatever?
Mm-hmm. Really, right now it is pretty much a web-based campaign. You know, part of my job is going out and speaking and holding different events around this region, as well as people are doing this all over the country. Some people might be familiar with the One campaign actually by seeing some of the ads that have been on TV. We've gotten a lot of support from, you know, celebrities like Bono, Brad Pitt. People may have seen the Brad Pitt, Diane Sawyer interview last week where he was in Africa doing work for the One campaign. Things like that, people. But really, if you want to sign on to the declaration and you don't have any materials in front of you, then the website would be the best place to access those materials.
Could keep people call your office long distance or write to you?
Yes. Actually, people can call my office at Bread for the World, and I'll give you that 800 number. But I would say that people can call my office at 1-800-447-0BFW. That's Bread for the World. Or people can also call the national office, and that number is 1-800-82-BREAD.
Okay.
And once again, my name is Ann Varghese. Just asked to speak to somebody that's dealing with the One campaign, and I would be happy to talk to anyone further about these issues or to talk to them about how they can bring the One campaign into their own communities, because really the One campaign is about bringing the issues into communities and letting people know what's going on. You know, I was fortunate enough to have the opportunity to travel overseas and to do development work in West Africa, but for a lot of people here, you know, they really don't have any context to what's going on around the world. And so for us, getting these issues out is really what's the most important thing, and letting them know how little our country is really doing right now for people suffering.
On Keeping the Faith this afternoon, we're talking with our guest Ann Varghese in Chicago from Bread for the World about the One campaign and the One Declaration. It's bringing together a number of organizations throughout the U.S. to try to influence the federal government to spend a higher percentage on issues of poverty, injustice, hunger, global AIDS, debt consolidation, many other things. We'll be getting back to Ann in just a moment, but let me just encourage people who might like to ask a question on the air or make a comment about this project. This is a live call-in show, and anywhere the program is heard, if you would need to call long distance to Champaign-Urbana, you can call toll-free on another 800 number, 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-WILL, the call letters of the station here at the University of Illinois. And that includes people who are listening via computer on the web at WILL.UIUC.edu. This program can be heard around the world live via computer. In Champaign-Urbana, we have several local lines, and you may punch in 333-9455 to ask a question to our guest, Ann Varghese. Ann, how is your last name spelled?
It's V as in Victor, A-R-G-H-E-S-E, Varghese.
And how did you get involved in this? How long have you been working for Bread for the World, and how did you get there?
Actually, I returned from the Peace Corps about a year ago, and I was interested in continuing my work in international development or working for a nonprofit. So basically, I kind of just, you know, hopped on the internet and was searching for jobs. I came across the posting for an international issues intern with Bread for the World and saw that the position was open in Chicago. Our headquarters is actually in Washington, D.C., but we do have 8 field offices located around the country. Once I saw that the campaign was going to be concentrating on, or that the position was going to be concentrating on the One campaign, I really started to go to the website and try to figure out what exactly the One campaign was. And when I saw what the issues were included in the One campaign and what the ask was, I was just really impressed, and really impressed that all of these organizations were working together to work on something as great as the One campaign. So just went through a series of interviews and was then hired on at Bread for the World on December 1st of 2005. So I've been there close to 7 months now, I believe. And it's just been a wonderful, wonderful position for me. Most of my work is spent traveling and doing presentations on things like the Millennium Development Goals, my experiences in doing development work in Africa, and how people can be a part of the One campaign. So I've traveled to churches, campuses, local, just organizational groups, and really just done some education work on the One campaign. And if there's anybody listening that would be interested in having me come out and do a free presentation to their church or school or local group, you can send me an email. My email address is avarghese@bread.org. That's A, V as in Victor, A-R-G-H-E-S-E, @bread.org. And I just feel like I've been so blessed that I found a position where I can continue to talk about these issues and my experiences overseas, and just do it in a way that's really educational and is really making a difference in traveling around and visiting these different congregations and schools.
Now, where did you come by your idealism? You just got out of the Peace Corps. You said you were in West Africa. What country?
I was actually in Cameroon. That is in Central West Africa. And I had just really always felt moved by what was going on with HIV and AIDS around the world, and wanted to do something to make a difference. I had actually been a volunteer with several AIDS organizations in my local communities, but felt that really that was not doing enough. So I started to research about the Peace Corps and just felt really called to do that. So I went into the Peace Corps, and much of my work was focused on HIV and AIDS education, as well as community development projects. I completed a water project with a group of women farmers. I did different things with women's groups, as well as taught at the high school and worked at the local hospital.
Where'd you go to college?
Went to college at the University of Kansas. Was a communication studies major with an emphasis in intercultural communication. Born and raised in Kansas.
Did your interest in AIDS come from family, from study, friends? How did you get concerned about that?
Actually, I feel like it was when I would, you know, watch TV or read articles on the crisis growing in Africa. You know, I just felt so helpless, like, you know, what can I do? And I feel like that's the way many people in this country feel, that the problem is so huge. What can one person do? For me, doing that thing was joining the Peace Corps, as well as volunteering in local organizations. There wasn't really, you know, a pivotal moment where I just, you know, found out that somebody I knew had AIDS or anything like that. It was just something over time that built up, that every time I would see or read anything on it, it just really touched my heart. And I felt like I was being called to do something about it, which is great. The one great thing about the One campaign is that since not everyone can do, you know, development work overseas or things like that, this is a small step that everyone can do to make a difference. Adding their voice to this campaign is really the first step that people can do to make a difference. You know, one of the slogans of our campaign is, we're not asking for your money, we're asking for your voice, because we really feel like we have the technology and we have the resources to end things like global hunger and poverty. What we're lacking is the political will to do so.
So in terms of what you're asking for, you're not asking for money at this point. You're just asking for people to add their name to basically a huge petition that will go to the Congress of the U.S. As they decide where the budget is spent. Is that accurate?
Right. But what we're doing is, you know, we're hoping that first step is to sign their name onto to the declaration, but that people will feel moved enough to continue to do personal actions to help with the situation.
Like what?
Things like Right now we have the next big thing on our radar screen is the G8 summit that's coming up in Scotland, July 4th through the 8th, I believe. And that is where the 8 superpowers of the world are going to get together and really make some important decisions on how to do development work in Africa and things like that. Most people in this country, I would say, have not even heard about the G8 or things like the Millennium Development Goals. And what we're asking is now that these, you know, close to a million Americans have signed on to the One Declaration and are getting these email and updates about what's going on, now people know about the G8. We are concerned with what's going to happen at the G8, and we want our leaders to know that people in this country are watching, and any promises that are made at the G8, we really want to see fulfilled, because that's another problem that we've come across is promises are made and then broken when it comes down to actually doing the funding for these things. Another thing that we're looking at is in September, there's going to be a meeting in New York with the United Nations, as well as other countries coming together to look at what the progress has been on the Millennium Development Goals. That's another thing we really want people to pay attention to and learn about, is what the Millennium Development Goals are, how they're being accomplished, things like that. So not only signing on to the declaration, we really say that the second step is to continue to educate yourself and others in your community about these issues. We have so many volunteers that have come forward to say, you know, I want to bring the One campaign to my church, or I want to bring it to my campus. I want to do educational sessions on what these issues are and have people in my community sign the declaration. People are really taking this and making it their own. We have different artists that will come, you know, through and say, we want to have a concert and devote it strictly to the One campaign. All of these ideas are things that people can do, and if people want to access the website or send an email asking what they can do in their own communities, there certainly isn't a lack of ideas of what you can do personally to bring the One campaign and the issues alive in your community, church, workplace, wherever.
I want you to say some things about the UN Millennium Development Goals.
Okay.
But before we get to that, let me give the phone numbers again. In Champaign-Urbana, where this program is broadcast at WILL, you may call 333-9455. That's 333-WILL to make a comment or ask a question. Elsewhere, there's a toll-free number, 1-800-222-9455. We're happy to have listeners join in this conversation. And we're talking with Anne Varghese from Bread for the World. And list again those organizations that have joined Bread for the World in this One campaign.
Mm-hmm. Some of the organizations include Bread for the World, Data, Oxfam, CARE, World Vision, Mercy Corps, Church World Service, I'm trying to think of some others. The NBA.
As in the National Basketball Association?
Right, right. just a number of different organizations. Those are the ones that come to my, okay, my head right off the bat. On our website, there is a list of full list of all of our partners that have joined onto the campaign.
Okay,
well.
And you say they're Jewish as well as Muslim and Christian? And
right. It is an interfaith movement going on with people from all backgrounds.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a particular religious background yourself?
I was actually raised in an Assemblies of God church, and now living in Chicago, I'm looking to join another church, not necessarily Assemblies of God, but was raised in a Christian home.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Before we talk about the Millennium Development Goals, let me just take a moment to let listeners know some of the guests coming up on Keeping the Faith in weeks ahead. Next week, we'll be talking on July 26th with Mark Leff and Kevin Sandifer on the whole issue of Social Security and the threats to Social Security and their efforts, along with others, in trying to preserve Social Security. And on July 3rd, we'll be talking about Jewish burial traditions with Lee Melhado, who is the executive director of the Jewish Federation in Champaign County. Later on in the summer, we'll be talking with folks from the Crisis Nursery, Laura Swinford, and Jenny DeWar. And in September, we'll be talking with a religious historian, Bill Plaker, author of several books about a project that the Lilly Foundation has funded on callings, looking at 20 centuries of Christian thought on vocations. The Lilly Foundation is very concerned that there's been a problem in the leadership of various religious organizations, and they've tried to study that a bit. And Bill Plaker will be talking about some of his research on religious vocations. So those are some of the programs coming ahead on Keeping the Faith. My name is Steve Shoemaker. I'm the usual host for these programs. I'm the executive director of the University YMCA. The Y is provides partial sponsorship for this program, and the Y is the oldest religious institution at the University of Illinois since 1873. The Y has been helping develop student leaders by providing opportunities for community service, for direct social action during their college years. In addition, the Y provides opportunities for continuing education for people in the community. Communiversity is starting up Monday, our summer program, and people who'd like to take some fun classes like learning social dance, various new and traditional dances, can study with Miss V at the Y. We also have programs in photography and classes in various martial arts and things like that. So if you're interested in any of those programs, do give the Y a call or pick up one of the calendars at 1001 South Wright in Champaign. The Y phone number is 217-337-1500. And I might just say that one of the ways this oldest U of I charity survives is by people who donate things to the Y. We have a big dump and run collection this summer. Right now, all we're accepting is furniture and bikes and vehicles. But if people have furniture or working bicycles that they'd like to donate, we have a grand sale when students come back on campus in the fall in the Stock Pavilion, first week of classes. And many of the University of Illinois international students are looking for cheap transportation and furniture for their apartments. And so if you have something you'd like to donate, you can take it off as a charitable deduction from your taxes and help the Y as we make a little money by selling these things very cheaply. Currently, we have a car that's been donated for sale. Actually, it's a wonderful van. It's probably the most valuable thing that's ever been, vehicle has been donated to us. It was cost $50,000 when it was new. It's a 2000 conversion van with all leather. It's quite a thing. It holds 7 passengers in great comfort. The rear seat, you push a button and it reclines into a bed for 2 or 3. Has a television and VCR and all kinds of things in it. At any rate, it's for sale at the Y for $18,900. Give me a call, 337-1500, if you're interested. We just had a boat and trailer that we sold this week that somebody had donated, so we are very thankful to people who remember the Y when they have things to donate. Well, let's get back to our guest today. And I was going to ask Ann about the Millennium Development Goals that have been set up by the United Nations that are so important to the One Campaign. And we're talking with Ann Varghese from Bread for the World. What can you tell us about those Millennium Development Goals?
Okay, well, the Millennium Development Goals are a list of 8 goals that were established in September of 2000 by 189 nations, including the United States. And these goals are basically addressing some of the issues that still plague the developing world, things like lack of education, diseases like AIDS and malaria, lack of clean water, all of these issues that are in the 8 Millennium Development Goals. And these goals are to be established by the year 2015. That's the reason why they're going to be having the meeting that I mentioned earlier in September in New York with the UN to see what the progress has been on some of these goals and where the direction is going in the next 10 years to achieve some of these goals. I'll go ahead and just list a couple of the goals. If you want a full listing of the 8 goals and what the exact targets are, you can find that on our website at www.bread.org. The first Millennium Development Goal is to eradicate extreme poverty and hunger, and the target is really to reduce by half the proportion of people living on less than a dollar a day. Some of the other goals include achieve universal primary education, improve maternal health, combat HIV, AIDS, and malaria, ensure environmental sustainability, which looks at the problem of billions of people living without access to clean water, also promote gender equality and empower women, reduce child mortality, things of that nature. So all of these problems that still really are huge issues in the developing world are what the Millennium Development Goals are about. And really in the One campaign, we're seriously looking at these 8 goals, and that's part of the reason why we would like additional funding would be to achieve some of these goals.
I'm very proud to say that the University YMCA here in Champaign-Urbana this last semester had a series of 9 different speakers who addressed each of those goals and gave us updates on what the progress has been in each of them. And sadly, there hasn't been a whole lot of progress on some of them. Some of these are huge, difficult international issues. But with 189 countries agreeing to try to work on them, one would have hoped by the end of the first 5 years there had been more progress. But it's wonderful that there's now this coalition of groups that are trying to influence the U.S. federal government in terms of its budget to help fund some of the attacks on that. We have a caller waiting, Ann, to talk with you and me. Let's go to line 4, our toll-free line. You're on Keeping the Faith. Go ahead, please.
Hello, I'm also calling from Chicago.
Yeah.
This is a very interesting and important discussion, and I'm glad that you mentioned some of the technology and other solutions that are being looked at. A long time ago, Francis Moore LePay wrote a book called World Hunger, 12 Myths, with Joseph Collins, and they thought that there was enough food already being produced in the world. It was simply a lack of democracy. Vandana Shiva from India wrote The Violence of the Green Revolution, which undercut local seed and made people even poorer to the extent that many Indian farmers commit suicide. I'm very impressed with all the work that you've been doing on so many, many issues. But you mentioned also the G8 that's coming up in Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
And also there's a debate about canceling the debt to a number of the most impoverished countries, particularly in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
These moments don't come very often, and what a chance to discuss the issues. Groups that have been going after the World Bank and IMF, putting people backed by the countries that are members, putting countries in debt that they can never work their way out of. Sometimes the money lent never trickles down, but the problem percolates up. The poor are expected to shoulder that. Isn't it a systemic thing that we need to be addressing? Would you lose members of your coalition if you went after that? Is it too political? But isn't that what really would help? I understand that Uganda was able to deal with its debt and get public education going again and was getting back on its feet, but it's kind of an exception when you look at Sudan and many of the other countries that are just hopelessly mired in debt, and their people are not being educated to new ways unless they have a Wangari Maathai like in Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody like that that helps see a new way. Your thoughts on that, and much good luck to you. I know you're reaching many people of goodwill in so many faith congregations and other organizations all around.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I really appreciate the call. The debt cancellation issue is one of the the issues that are on the forefront of the One campaign, and we really are going to be looking at that very closely at the G8 to see what comes out of that. It has been proposed that there's, I believe, 16 countries on the highly indebted poor country list that will be affected by this, and there's over $40 billion, I believe, dollars in debt cancellation that would be taking place. Many of these leaders have already agreed to go forth with this, but we'll see what actually comes out of the G8 conference, which is why we're encouraging people to really pay attention to what's going on there. The debt cancellation issue is just something that would really help these poor countries be able to help themselves. All of this money that they're paying back, hundreds of thousands of dollars a year that they are paying, that was, you know, from debts that were, you know, more than, that were created more than 10 years ago. Really, if they were, those debts were canceled, they would be able to take that money instead and put it into their own educational systems, their campaigns for fighting against AIDS and things like that. They would be able to do so much more productive things with this money rather than paying the debt and then having, you know, organizations like World Bank or whoever fund programs then that would be in that country. It's really just a cycle that doesn't make any sense when you really look at it from an outside perspective. If these countries just had the chance to be able to use that money to use it within their own borders, it would really help them out. And debt cancellation is something that the One campaign is fully in support of, and all of our coalition members have, you know, really supported this issue as well. So it's something that we'll be looking at very closely at the G8 summit to see what comes out of there, what promises are made, and then what happens after the conference. So I appreciate the caller as well for bringing that issue up.
Other people are encouraged to join our conversation, 1-800-222-9455 from Chicago or other places where people are hearing on the web. In Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. And we do have a caller on one of those local lines. Let's go to line one. Yes.
Yes, thank you. I wonder if you're familiar with the editorial that Naomi Klein published on commondreams.org maybe a couple of weeks ago in regards to the issue of debt cancellation. The gist of it was that canceling debt is really the wrong focus, but what we should be doing is supporting the concept that the Africans should have control of their own resources and be able to use that money for their own development. That, you know, at this point, a lot of places like, for instance, Nigeria or Guinea-Bissau, private corporations are essentially sucking the majority of the profits from extracting oil and other natural resources from those countries, and only giving a bare pittance to you know, the people of those countries. That the real problem is that you know, that basically Africa is being, you know, sucked dry financially of its resources, and the corporations are making these huge profits and only giving a tiny fraction of the wealth back. And I was just wondering, you know, what you thought of that issue.
That's definitely part of the problem. I mean, I would say when we talk about doing development work in Africa and what works as opposed to what doesn't work, I mean, it's just a hugely complicated issue, and there's so many different perspectives that can be brought to the table. You know, what works in one country may not work in another country. And, as far as the debt cancellation issue goes, we just feel like that's a way that would put money, you know, back into these countries. As far as what corporations are doing in different countries, I mean, it's just a hugely complicated issue, and I can't give a good answer to what is the right way to do development work in Africa. I don't really think that there is generally just a right way. So many, the reason that we're asking for more funding to go towards these issues, you know, a lot of people, when I talk about the 1% and how it's going to help, you know, they bring up the issue of corruption and does that money even, you know, reach people living in the villages down at the grassroots level. And part of what we're talking about is additional funding for something called the Millennium Challenge Account, which was this administration's way of saying we're going to help achieve the Millennium Development Goals. And the great thing about that is that they're really looking to fund these countries that have a good track record of using that money properly and having it go funnel throughout the country and get down to people in the villages. And that's where really the money needs to go. And for me, you know, when I was working in a village, it is difficult to see so much of the money coming through, you know, not ever reaching the villages and just staying with the higher officials in some of these countries. It's disappointing. But at the same time, with something like the Millennium Challenge account, where money is given to these countries that have a good track record of using it, we're really hoping that that's going to set an example for other countries to want to do more with development in their own countries. And, I mean, as far as, you know, big corporations and other things like that, there's not really a good answer to what the right way to do development work is. We just feel like debt cancellation would be a huge help to these countries to be able to help themselves. Because, you know, as working in West Africa and working with different populations, you know, they don't want to have to depend on the United States or European countries for their sustainability and being able to do things in their own country. They really want to be able to do it themselves. They just need that initial help from us to be able to do it. I did several trainings with people. As soon as the knowledge gets passed, they can do it. They just need the initial help. So, I mean, there's several ways to look at how development works in different countries, and there's a million different perspectives as well. But, I mean, I think it's important to look at all of them and see what, you know, works on a different country-by-country basis. Also, we're talking about the money would not just be handed over to the government. The money is going to be used in not only outside NGOs, but government, local NGOs, non-governmental organizations, to really keep that money getting into the country in a variety of ways. So it's not just like here's a check to that government. It would just be dispersed in a number of different ways, depending on the country.
A former guest on Keeping the Faith from the Marion Medical Mission from the town of Marion in southern Illinois has been for 10 years or so finding ways to actually go into the villages, particularly in Malawi, one of the poorest countries in mm-hmm. Africa, and to find ways to get clean water there by building shallow wells and for, I think, only $300 or so mm-hmm. of product. The village can go together and work together to dig this well, and then the machinery that's necessary to keep to provide clean drinking water for a village of several thousand for $300 can just free up so many people to then be productive. Mm-hmm. It's just an amazing. That's the Marion Medical Mission that provides shallow wells in Malawi and I think Kenya now too. But you're right, in each country it's different. Now, you were in Cameroon for what, 2 years in the Peace Corps?
Right.
And tell us what you did there.
Well, most of my work, as I said before, was focused on doing HIV education, working at the hospital, doing different programs surrounding things like their infant vaccination programs, working with pregnant women to encourage them to come in for prenatal exams. And one thing that you just said, Steve, which I think is very important, is you said that the community was working together on mm-hmm. these projects. And that really is the key to doing this development work. Working with host country nationals to be able to just do a transfer of skills so that there's a learning process that takes place. One of the things that I saw traveling throughout Cameroon, which was very unfortunate, was things like water projects that had just been completely abandoned mm-hmm. Because, you know, an outside organization had come into the community, done a water project on their own, and then left the community. And once one thing went wrong mm-hmm. with that water project, if there was a breakdown or a part that was needed, nobody in the village knew how to fix that. Mm-hmm. And the project just was abandoned. And we saw this traveling throughout the country, and it was really just disappointing. And that's why one thing that we always did in the Peace Corps and that so many of these outside organizations do is work especially with host country nationals to make sure that there is a transfer of skills and knowledge so that people can continue to do the work in their own communities on their own. And that was one thing that I really had a great success with, was working with a local women's farming group when I was in Cameroon on a water project. And I worked with Cameroonian engineers as well as all the women in the group to install this water pump. And that's a pump that supplies water to over 500 people in the community as well as a local elementary school that's located nearby. And now that I've come home, I've found out that these women are now working on a second project by themselves to complete a roof that needs to be put on their storage facility there. And it's just been a wonderful way to see that the work that I did is continuing now there, but the host country nationals are doing it on their own. So things like that. I also taught in the high school. I taught a class on HIV, AIDS, and STDs, which was another wonderful thing to do because so many of the youth in that community had no context, no prior knowledge of things like AIDS and STDs and what all of those things meant and how it could affect their lives. I also was a coordinator of a local AIDS organization that went out into the community and trained peer educators to do AIDS talks in the community. So just a number of different things like that.
Ann Varghese is our guest on Keeping the Faith this afternoon. Ann is working for Bread for the World on the One campaign that Bread for the World and several other organizations in this country are working on. If you'd like information about it, they're looking for people to sign on to the One Declaration. That's O-N-E, the One Declaration. You can read about that at 3w.one.org or www.bread.org/1, or is it O-N-E?
It's O-N-E.
O-N-E at the end, all right. And if you'd like to call Ann, her number is 1-800-447-0BFW for Bread for the World. 1-800-447-0BFW. The national Bread for the World 800 number in Washington, D.C. is 1-800-82-BREAD, B-R-E-A-D. Ann has also kindly given us her email address, which is avarghese, A-V-A-R-G-E-S-E, at bread.org. If you'd like her to come and talk, did I get that right?
It's V-A-R-G-H-E-S-E.
I left out an H, sorry.
Thanks.
At bread.org. If you'd like Ann to come and speak at your service club or religious organization, congregation, do email her or give her a call. For people who may have turned into this program late today, shame on you, but tell us again, and what is the main point of the One campaign?
The One campaign is the campaign to make poverty history, and we are hearing,
and that's around the world.
That's around the world. We are part of a global campaign going on all around the world to raise awareness about things like global AIDS, poverty, and hunger. Countries around the world are taking part in this, and the United States is calling it the One campaign because our focus is on 1% of the federal budget and also the fact that one by one we can make a difference in this world. One of the other things that I forgot to mention, Steve, is that we are asking people to wear the One white band. As people may know, these bands are very common right now. There's the yellow one that is Live Strong that Lance Armstrong is promoting, and the One campaign has a white band. The reason we're using a white band is because it's a sign of solidarity with all the campaigns that are going on around the world. Different countries are using the white bands in different ways, people tying white bands around their arms or, you know, using white headbands, all of these kinds of things to bring about awareness to the campaign. White bands can be ordered online at the one.org website or at my presentations. We give them out for free in exchange for someone adding their name to the One campaign. So that's just a great way to be in solidarity with the campaigns that are going on around the world. July 1st is actually International White Band Day. If you have a white band or even if you have a white handkerchief and would like to, you know, tie it around your wrist or do something to make that seen, we're really hoping to raise awareness on July 1st about the One campaign and the campaigns going on around the world. So when people say, you know, what's the white band for, you can tell them it's the One campaign and we're trying to end poverty around the world, and here's the website if you want more information.
Now, and I used the term earlier about your being idealistic. You've been in the Peace Corps, after University of Kansas, and now you've gone to work for this nonprofit in this country that's trying to fight world hunger, Bread for the World. But some people might say, oh, you're naive. I mean, poverty, people are poor because they're lazy. People are poor because they're stupid, don't want to get an education. How do you respond to that?
You know, I really respond to that in saying, when you see people living in poverty, I mean, we see it in this country every day with homeless people and just people that don't have the opportunities that, that some of us do have. It's easy to maybe say that, you know, they're just lazy or they don't want to do better for themselves. But especially through my work in Cameroon, it just gave me, you know, my worldview was very much so changed in seeing how these people who really have nothing are just trying to survive and are working from morning until night to be able to feed their families. It is not because they're lazy, but it is because of their lack of opportunities. Most of these people have no education because there's not a way for them to go to school there. Here in this country, we are fortunate to be able to attend school. All children are able to attend school. In most of these developing countries, that's not the case. And for me, I was just so affected by the people when I was traveling throughout Africa and the way that they were just in such solidarity and such a sense of community with themselves. If their neighbor doesn't have something, they're willing to share with their neighbor. For me, especially when I was traveling, I would always have people, you know, invite me to come into their homes to break bread with them when these are people that could barely have enough to feed their own children. And just that sense of solidarity and giving and hope that these people have, it was just a wonderful thing for me to see and really changed my heart and changed the way I saw things. And for me to come back to this country and say, you know, the problem is too big, there's nothing I can do about it, would just not be doing these people justice. So I feel like even if I can do one thing, change one mind by going out and doing these talks, give someone a piece of information that they didn't have before, for me, that's really enough. And for someone to say that that's idealistic, well, that's fine with me because, you know, these ideals are what keeps me going in this work.
Since our callers have been very, very positive, let me ask another negative, bring up another negative issue. In this country, our problem isn't poverty. We have wealth. Our problem isn't hunger. We have too much to eat, and we eat too much. Bread for the World is trying to fight world hunger, but isn't the problem around the world in most countries too much population? And aren't religious organizations at fault in not encouraging contraception and things like that, family planning?
Well, you know, you bring up an interesting point, but I would like to point out that there is hunger in this country, and Bread for the World not only fights for hungry people around the world, but fights for hungry people in this country as well. Bread for the World is working on the One campaign, but we also are working on a domestic campaign this year called Make Hunger History. And that is really looking at things like not making cuts to things to nutrition programs like food stamps and other things like that. But Bread for the World does look at the case of hungry people in this country. And, you know, even when I was traveling throughout the world, people would always say, oh, there's not poverty in the United States, there's not hungry people. And the reality is that there is. It's just a much more silent, not talked about issue, hungry people in the United States. But it is very much an issue, and there are hungry people all over this country that just don't have enough to eat or enough to feed their kids on, which is really mind-blowing when you think about how many resources that this country does have. So Bread for the World does work for international and national hunger programs as well. Back to the latter part of your question in saying, you know, well, what can we do in relation to faith-based organizations? Shouldn't they be doing more about contraception? Is that what your question was?
Sure, it is. Because isn't overpopulation one of the main reasons there's so much hunger? There's not enough food for the number of people.
That's one way of looking at it. But there is enough food here that can be dispersed throughout the world. And I don't think it's really the place for a faith-based organizations to necessarily come in and say, you know, these people are having too many children. That's their cultural practice. I believe that the role of faith-based organizations as well as, you know, all NGOs across the board is to give these women and these families the education that they need to make good decisions. The fact that they have 9 or 10 children in their family, that is their choice, and that is the way that their culture is. And I, you know, for me, living in that community for 2 years, it was a wonderful part of the community, is the sense of these huge families and the amount of love that's in these families. My problem was that these women were not taking care of their own bodies. They didn't have the education that they needed to make great choices for their families. So I think that the role of development organizations is to come in and give them that education. And if the woman chooses to space out her birth or do things like, you know, make the choice to get prenatal care, things like that, then that is where the development organizations can help. But it's not our role to say that these people are having too many children and that's what's causing hunger. There's so many different causes for hunger, and overpopulation is probably just a small, tiny fraction of what that is. Things like lack of education and the way AIDS has come into communities and devastated communities and how that affects hunger, all of these other issues are really more important than faith-based organizations coming in and saying, you know, you're having too many children, or other organizations for that matter.
Anne Varghese has been our guest on Keeping the Faith this afternoon, and she's a representative for Bread for the World out of Chicago. How far does your region extend where you're willing to go and give talks, Anne?
I am working in Illinois, Indiana, and Missouri. And for people listening all over the country, if you go to the Bread website, you can look up on your on who is your local representative for Bread for the World. We have people in 8 different regions in this country, all the way from California to New York.
And that's at bread, B-R-E-A-D, .org. Anne has also given her email address, if you'd like to call her, A-V-A-Varghese, A-V-A-R-G-H-E-S-E, at bread.org. And if you have only a telephone to use, you may call her at 1-800-447-0-BFW, 0-BFW for Bread for the World. I want to thank Anne for being our guest today on Keeping the Faith, and for our callers. This is a huge project, fighting poverty around the world, and fortunately there are a number of very large organizations that have joined together with Bread for the World to attack this problem. These are various faith-based organizations. It is an interfaith effort, including Jews and Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists and others, as well as Christians, Protestants, and Catholics. So if you'd like to sign on to the One Declaration, you may do that at bread.org. My name is Steve Shoemaker. I'm the host for Keeping the Faith today. Our guest next week will be We have two who will be in the studio, Mark Leff and Kevin Sandifer, talking about Social Security and the various threats that are facing Social Security in this country these days. On July 3rd, our guest will be Lee Melhado, who is the executive director of the Jewish Federation of Champaign County. She'll be talking about various Jewish burial traditions, which are quite fascinating. Later on, we'll be talking with Bill Plaker, about vocations. Thank you for listening to Keeping the Faith.
You've been listening to Keeping the Faith, the production of WILL AM 580. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants.
Hi, this is Jay Pierce, station manager of WILL Radio. In less than a week, the U.S. House of Representatives will vote on a bill that would cut federal funding for public broadcasting by 45%. This cut would be devastating to WILL. Many of you have called your congressmen and senators to let them know how much you support public broadcasting. If you haven't done so, we hope you will soon. For the phone numbers of your members of Congress, call us at 217-333-1070 or visit our website, will.uiuc.edu. It's very important that Washington hear from you on whether federal funding for WILL should be cut or restored. Thanks.
Tonight in Champaign-Urbana, mostly clear with a low in the upper 50s and light east winds. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-80s and light and variable winds. Tomorrow night, mostly clear with a low in the lower 60s and light and variable winds. You're listening to WILL Urbana, made possible by the support of our listeners, the friends of WILL. It's 6 p.m. To the best of our knowledge is coming up an hour from now. This American Life is next.
How exactly?